Now, give as you're sitting down, say, shout hallelujah one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you can say we at Triumph Word Christian, you get your blood moving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's give Pastor Cynthia a hand again for preaching, teaching last week. Glory to God. And so we're going to be, I was thinking this will be our last installment of Joy, but it may not be, but we're going to give you what the Lord has for you tonight. Praise God. And so over the weeks, we've been having a little few handouts. We have the fruit, the spiritual force of joy handout with the flowers on it. We only got a very few of them left. We're out of the supplemental handout, which we gave 2 weeks ago, which was the little kind of pinkish one. That has to do with understanding why rejoicing is needed so much. I'm going to actually pick up on that document, and then we have this one tonight, which is the sacrifice of joy. So does everybody have this? Everybody has this one? Okay, good. All right, so we said last, a couple weeks ago, why is rejoicing needed so much? I think sometimes it tends to be a missed or omitted art among the believer, or omitted practice, I should say, more accurately, an omitted practice. And, you know, we have the mandates in the New Testament talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord, that's in Philippians 3:1. And Thessalonians even tells us rejoice forevermore. That means it should be a regular, consistent occurrence in all of our lives. So now think about how you lived the last couple of weeks. How has your rejoicing been? Now, I know we had that week where we talked about, you know, the Lord said, rejoice 7 days. And there's an element, if you hadn't sensed it already, in the spirit realm of freedom and liberty that's broken loose here at our church. And that's a good thing, amen? Yes, amen. And there is higher to go and more to go, more to get to. But many of us, this has to be learned. We have to learn to rejoice. And why is it so important? Well, we said, first and foremost, it generates joy. We've got to generate joy. Now, the joy of the Lord is in our spirit, as a fruit form. The Bible calls it fruit, but really it's a force. But it has to be stirred up, and it has to be released by faith, not by feelings. Feelings follow faith. Amen? So everybody say, generate joy. And it is to stir up the joy. That's what actually one of the primary definitions of rejoicing is to stir up the joy, rekindle it, reignite it. Stir up the joy. So that's what rejoicing kind of kickstarts your joy, gets your joy back up. Your joy level and your peace level should be two main monitors you keep your hands on all the time. Your joy and peace monitors. Your joy level is God always wants and desires and sets a bar full, that your joy may be full. It just answered prayer in John 16, Jesus tells us. And then we know full of joy or exceeding joy is some of the descriptors of how our joy level needs to be. Exceeding joy, we see in Peter 1, 1 Peter 1, heavenly triumphant joy. I mean, the same joy that's in the atmosphere in heaven coming around you in your atmosphere wherever you are here on earth. Amen? God didn't set any less bar, or you get 2% joy. They got the whole joy up in heaven, and you got 2% level. No, he wants you the same experience that heaven has for you to have. Amen? Amen. And it's also needed to encourage ourselves and be exceedingly glad, because we know the expectation, the requirement of God is that we serve the Lord with gladness. serve the Lord, what? With gladness. Now, we don't just serve the Lord when the hour and a half or three hours on Sunday, that's not when we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord 24/7, 365. Amen? Every day we wake up, we belong to the Lord. So we got to have less bad days, meaning bad days for the believer is sad and mad. Where you're sad and mad. That's a bad day for the believer. It doesn't matter what's happening to you as a believer, but when you go rogue and run off the reservation and get hot-headed and let you've lost your anger management tendencies, or you're walking around in grief and sorrow. We talked about last time. That's not a good place. Everybody say that's not a good place. So you have to encourage yourself. But God didn't. So God, Jesus doesn't have to come down and pat you on the back every time. Or you don't have to see a person all the time. Amen? You have the ability to encourage yourself and be exceeding glad. Amen. And this equips us, this empowers us, and this enables us to do as we talked about last time. If you have the chart, you can reference it. Rejoicing has a fourfold purpose. To resist, everybody say resist. What are you resisting? Sin, sickness, and Satan, and we added sorrow. You got to resist sorrow. And that's that sadness, because we know doubt, complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Right? So you know you're not in faith when you're walking around sad, anxious, or worrying, and complaining. Now, I know sometimes we see a lot of believers kind of go along those tracks, but you need to get off those tracks. Amen? That's God. That's why God's teaching us this, that we got to get back to focusing on the fruit. Amen? So we're focusing on the fruit. And so you have to resist sin, and you have to resist sickness as you resist sin, and you have to resist Satan. We know the premise or the principle is resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. If you're not strong, then you'll be weak. And if you're weak, you do what? You can't resist. And if you don't resist, he doesn't flee, because you have to resist him to flee. Resistance is a word where we get some of the medical words or pharmaceutical word called antihistamine, putting pressure against something. You got to see, joy puts pressure against the devil, because joy is the fuse to your faith. Your faith could be like C4 dynamite blocks built stumbling by. You got faith all in you, but if you have no fuse, you can't light it. Because joy is, faith is strong enough to move mountains, but you need a fuse. That's why Jerry Savelle preached that message and is still relevant today. If the Satan steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. So you're responsible to make sure your joy doesn't get stolen. Because he's like taking the fuse out of all that dynamite you got loaded up in, all that word you hear, all that word you hear every week, all that word you read every day. I mean, you walking around like a bad boy. But if you don't have any ignition switch, you don't have a fuse, you can't light it. Hallelujah. So you got to resist Satan, and he'll flee from you. You have to resist sorrow. And then getting in joy enables, empowers, and equips us to run. Run with what? Run with the vision. Run our race with endurance, cheerful endurance. That means everybody in this room should be running toward the plan and will of God and purpose of God for your life. You're not isolated. You're not running off the tracks. You're not running off to run off the reservation. You're not to run away from the things of God. You should be running toward marks, pressing toward marks. Amen? And pressing means to exert maximum sustainable effort. You can't do that without joy, because you need the spiritual inertia of the spiritual force of joy to be able to run, to be able to keep up with, keep the pace and stay in the race. So you run with the vision. You run your race with cheerful and you know, it running implies two things. We said direction and momentum. That I know where I'm going. I know where I need to be. I know what I have to do. And momentum means you're moving. It's easy for God to steer us if we're moving. It's hard to steer a parked car. Anybody try to turn that wheel? I mean, it's tough. So when you don't have any momentum, even the puniest of obstacles becomes seemingly insurmountable. Because your tweet, and your post about the little pebble that you're dealing with. But when you got momentum, you just roll right over that stuff. You just blow right through that stuff. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. So you need the big mo. You know, they said a train at 55 miles an hour can blow through concrete steel, reinforced with steel, 5 foot of concrete. I mean, it can blast some things because it's got momentum. But when it's standing still, you put a rubber stop in front of the wheel, it can't even push forward. So the devil knows when your joy level's low, I can keep you back and I can push you back. That's why you got to have your hands on your monitors. You got to know my joy level and my peace level. And that's why most Christians, like, they lose their joy from Sunday to Wednesday sometimes. Not folks in here, right? Amen. We're keeping our joy level up. Hallelujah. Because we all leak. That's why rejoicing is required, and it's needed so much, because you have to generate joy. You have to stir up the joy. You have to encourage yourself on a consistent, regular basis. Every day, by the way. Hallelujah. And then joy, rejoicing helps, is a receiver. Rejoicing is a harvesting factor. We said the bridge from believing to receiving is rejoicing. Most people see the word, get excited about it, but now you got to believe it, but then you have to receive it. And the bridge between believing to receiving is rejoicing. And this is where I want to pick up with the responding part, because we said you must respond. Now, this is what I'm going to key in, if by the help and grace of God, tonight and perhaps next week, on the sacrifice of joy. Because you're not going to feel it. But in the face of persecution, pain, pressure, and problems, it is an expectation that we learn to offer the sacrifice of joy. Now, this goes completely 180 against society today and how they respond to stuff. Because the first thing, you know, the world tells us or tries to teach us is we respond by telling everything and talking negative about everything. And we're trying to play the victim card. Got the V's through our eyeglasses. And you know what I'm saying? And we've forgotten that we are victors, not victims. Amen. And so let's go to Matthew 5. Then we're going to pick up into our lesson. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Y'all praying with me tonight? Matthew 5:11. He said, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now, what is this typified as? Persecution. Persecution comes from problems, pain, pressure. Persecution comes from people, excuse me. Pain and pressure comes from affliction, or is what we call persecution and affliction, the trouble twins. So you got persecution comes from people. So God, Satan uses what we call, and I use this phrase, unwitting people. So sometimes the devil will get into your closest friends or family, and then they chastising you, instigating you, criticizing you, backbiting, backstabbing. They smile in your face all the while. They don't take your face, the backstabbers. In other words, what they do, they wag their tongues behind your back. That's the beginning of persecution. And words are powerful. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. There's no inconsequential words. When words are released, even they might be across the street at Olive Garden, you know, from this place. There's an Olive Garden, yeah, right over here, 410 and Ingram, Callahan area. So they could be sitting down having a meal, eating some chicken marsala and wagging their tongue about you. Well, that's, they're releasing words in the spirit. And how's it happen? They yielded to the devil. Because they don't know what they're doing, so they start talking. Amen. But Jesus tells us how to respond. He said, bless when men revile you. Amen. And persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. How he tells us to respond, verse 12. Rejoice. And be what? Now again, go back to why we need to rejoice. To generate joy. So you can resist the temptation to either get in sin and try to fight back on your own terms or in the flesh, or a temptation to talk about them and post bad things on them on social media, or resist sorrow. Because the immediate flesh reaction is to get mad or to get sad when people talk about you. You get upset. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which are in heaven. Now let's go to 1 Peter 4. Let's refer to 1 Peter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now this is some things you have to practice and learn. You can't just go off. You got to grow up enough, stay in the spirit enough to be, not go off when somebody's talked ugly or says something wrong to you. He said, beloved, thinketh not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to trouble, try you, though some strange thing has happened to you. But do what? Rejoice. Because some people think it's strange. They think it's strange. Why do they talk about me? Why do they say that about me? Why do they respond that way to my posts? You know how people try to be politically correct or religious correct on Facebook. What you getting upset about it for? It's all a ploy by the enemy. The devil could have got in them and used them to post that to just agitate the you-know-what out of you. And now you all frosted up and twisted up. Because your joy level was low, so you didn't just laugh at that. You didn't respond with joy. You didn't respond to by rejoicing. Now, I know y'all chewing on this. Look, some of y'all looking at me like, don't look at me like a calf at a new gate now. This is the Bible. Amen. Everybody said, amen. Glory to God. He said, So when you think it's strange, you're listening to the stranger. Because he's the only one to give you a thought, an idea, or suggestion to get upset, to get angry. Who gives a rip if they said something that made you mad? Your anger is supposed to be channeled at the enemy, not out on a person. And this is where we live, right? This is where we live. So he said, respond that way, as though something. But he said, rejoice insomuch you are partakers of Christ's suffering, for that when his glory shall be revealed, that you may be what? Glad. With what? Exceeding joy. My goodness. And he tells us, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. You ought to come in rejoicing. When they do three or four people talking about you, you ought to come in rejoicing. But some of y'all come, let me say it neutral. Sometimes we come to people that we know and we're not rejoicing, we're reveling in the problem. Because we're wearing it on our face. And if we checked your joy level, it ain't nothing in there, brother. Nothing in there, sister. It's leaked all the way out. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. You got to rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. We know James. Let's turn there real quick. Turn back a few pages. James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in. Now, he said when you enter in. He said when you fall in. So the enemy always, don't think you're at peace. You're at war. There's an enemy. That's why he's called the enemy. He's the devil and all his demons and court. If you could look in the spirit, you would see this atmosphere congested with hostile forces. They're trying to set you up every day. There's some assigned to each one of us to get us into a landmine, a slime pit of sorrow. A slime pit of sin or satanic thoughts. That's why you got to keep the joy up. So you can resist those things. You can laugh about, you can see the devil coming through. They tried to use that person to get to me, get under my skin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, count it all joy. Everybody say, count it all joy. Now, he didn't say it was a joy. He said, count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This is pressure. The word temptation is the word philipsis, which basically means pressure. And again, I told you how to respond. Don't respond to pressure. Don't make decisions under pressure. Why? Because you respond to the devil's stimuli. He says, I'm just bringing you a little temptation. I just put a little pressure on you. What's the pressure on? The pressure is on what you believe. Is God's words true? Or is it this more true than God's word? This situation I'm seeing or this situation I'm feeling? So he wants you to respond to what you feel and what you see versus what you believe. So he's trying to get your believer unhooked from your believer unhooked from your receiver. Everybody say, don't respond to the devil's pressure. Hallelujah. And then we see in Habakkuk, let's turn there. This is problems. This is a problem. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Now, this is a big one. Everybody say, this is a big one. All of them are big ones, but I'm just giving you three scriptural examples of pain, pressure, and problems that do occur in our lives. And we would all say amen to that because we know what's happened. Verse 17. Now I'm going to read out of King James, then I'm going to read in Amplified. Although the fig tree does not blossom, neither shall the fruit be on the vine, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herds in the stalls. Now what's the condition? Isn't that a problem? So poverty, lack, and insufficiency is going on right now, right? I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough finances. What are you supposed to do? He's saying, yet I what? Will. Rejoice in the Lord. I will. What? Joy in the God of my salvation. So where are you rejoicing? In the Lord. We know the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Joy in God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon high mind high places and to the chief singers to on my string instrument. Now listen to the Amplified. It says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there's no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock is cut off from the field, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now notice this is an act of your will. It's not an act, a response from your flesh or your feelings. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord is my what? Strength. We said Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord, what? Is your strength. God is my strength, capital S. My personal bravery. Because when you broke, you're usually not brave. Now, you say, well, what about those people that break in and steal stuff? No, that's they respond to fear. That's the spirit of fear working on them. To be brave is to do the will of God in spite of what the cupboards tell you, your checkbook tells you, your pocketbook tells you. Your personal bravery and my invincible army, he makes my feet like hinds feet and will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but walk. You keep moving and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. So in other words, you don't digress, you progress. Amen. Even though it looks like I have no natural resources to claim that's mine right now, I can still make progress. Hallelujah. Now, that's why we said what Andrew Murray said. Joy is the serious business of heaven. See, if we only knew what was happening in the spirit on the other side of our rejoicing, we would rejoice every day. There's been too many conversations about what's wrong and what's not happening. And that's, you know, usually a sad indictment on the believers. Instead of saying, let's rejoice. Get a rejoicing partner. Come on now. Come on, let's generate some joy about this. We need to resist sorrow here. Your tears need to be tears with joy. Joy, weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Glory to God. So let's look at Psalms 27, because this is our last example of this, but we're going to go from verse 1 through 6. And then I've got the Amplified Bible, kind of the verse 6 outline there. So let's go to Psalms. Now we'll start at verse 1 through 6. And then we'll see here, this is another form in the Old Testament of persecution that is coming about, what the enemy is trying to do, but what God will do. Now look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host, that's a lot of people. Everybody say that's a lot of people. Encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now, why do you need to generate your joy? So you can have strength to resist fear. Why? Because you're no longer a slave to fear. You are a child of God. Everybody say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Because, see, people get afraid when people gang up against me. Hallelujah. So he's talking about enemies in verse 2. Then he's talking about a host encamp against me, verse 3. He said, the war should rise up against me, second half, verse 3. In this will I be confident. The scriptures clearly should resound to us tonight, friends, that in Hebrews, where it says, cast not therefore away your confidence, for it has recompense of reward. There is a reward if you don't throw away your confidence. Confidence is a product of faith. Faith is the evidence, the substance of things hoped for. If you look at the reference of substance, that word substance is confidence. We might say assurance. Faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confidence of what you're hoping for. So the devil throws fear and pressure to get you to throw your confidence away. Confidence in what? Confidence in God and confidence in his word. So you act like you don't even believe God, like God doesn't even exist. I have no confidence in your word, your promises. Somebody say, glory to God. You need your confidence. Everybody say, confidence. See, confidence is your attitude of faith. That I'm a believer, I believe God, that settles it. Your confession is your initial, essential act of faith. Confidence is your attitude of faith. You need to have an attitude of confidence that God said this. This situation is saying that, I believe this, and that's it. And I'm not moving by what I feel. I'm not being moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe the God. I believe his word. I put my confidence in his word. Come demons, devil, hell, or high water, I trust God more than I trust what I feel or see. Where's your confidence? But the devil uses unwitting people, people that that have yielded to his witty wiles and tactics and devices and been deceived, and they trying to get you to lose your confidence, which means you lose your strength. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, now you know this is a troubled time, right? In the time of trouble, they shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, they shall hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Hallelujah. And now, everybody say now. Now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Whoo, glory to God. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, this joy sacrifices to him. The singing is unto him. See, persecution is formed by the enemy for your peril. But God uses it for your promotion and your progress. Too often we're not further along in the things of God than we are because we mishandle or we improperly respond to problems, to pain, to pressure, and to persecution. We talk about it. We never talk to it. We talk about it and cry about it, and we never shout about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so many other scriptures we can go to, but let's look at the Amplified. It says in verse 6, and I misspelled the first thing there. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Now remember, you're not in a peacetime situation. You're at war. The enemy is always trying to go after your soul and get you out of control in your life through fear and disobedience. He's always going to bring circumstantial resistance to the will of God in your life. He's going to always tell you, you're too busy. You can't be bothered with all that. But you've got to realize at wartime, you act differently. Your perspective is, I'm in a fight. But it's not a fight for something. It's a fight from. It's a fight from victory, not for victory. So your fighting position is a defensive posture that I'm got to stand with, and with having done all to stand. I can't stand if I'm not strong, and I'm not strong if I don't have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemy round about me, in his tent will I offer sacrifices and shouting of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto to the Lord. Now, as we get into bullets here, there's something about it. There's something in a shout of joy that releases the energy of God and prepares the believer out of a place of defeat into complete victory. Now, that was worth coming to church tonight. Just that one statement. There is something in a shout of joy. I'm not talking about screaming and hollering at people. Or shouting at the devil. I said a shout of joy. Everybody said a shout of joy. That releases the energy of God and propels the a believer out of a place of defeat into complete victory. Do we see examples, which we're going to go through in some cases tonight, as the Lord allows, in the Bible, victories were won by as God's people lifted up a great shout. Everybody say shout. So we've been reading the Bible, reading. So many of us are in Joshua's, past Joshua 6. We're almost finished with Joshua. And so at the Battle of Jericho, if you go back and look at it, remember they went around 7 days, didn't say nothing. But in the seventh day, they went around seven times. The priest blew the trumpets. And what happened? And he said, shout. Shout. For the Lord has given you the city. Now the walls are still standing. And they shouted, and the walls fell flat. And they took everything. Somebody said, glory to God. Let me tell you this right now. The Holy Spirit is on me real heavy right now. He said, don't let the devil take away your shout of faith. I'm talking to somebody in here. You've lost your shout. Now, you'll shout at a baseball game. You'll shout at people even. Usually when you're angry. But you need to shout for joy. You need to learn to shout for joy. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
And so the walls came down. In Judges 7, we see Gideon. We hadn't read that yet, but it's in there, Judges chapter 7, leading his army to triumph with a shout. Because this is spiritual as well as natural. See, sometimes the orders of the day is to shout. Shout. Woo! Glory to God. Shout. Look what God says. This is Psalms 47:5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. See, sometimes some people like the cold, calm. So we're not the first church of the frozen chosen. Everybody's all dignified and quiet and nobody moves. I mean, you can hear a mouse pass gas in the church. But no, no. Hallelujah. Shout. You're going to be nervous in heaven because they're going to be shouting. Hallelujah. If you like it all quiet and neat. Somebody say glory to God. First Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? Shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Now all these trumpets and shouting is going on. God ain't nervous about noise. Yet he's not hard of hearing, but he's not nervous either. Sometime in the battle cry, there needs to be a shout. What is this shout? The shout releases God's power called, write it down, joy. Shout releases God's power called joy. Sometimes you need a whole bunch of joy right at the moment. We know Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. This Hebrew word is the word renan, which means to creak, to emit stridulous sound, to shout, usually for joy, aloud for joy, cry out, be joyful, greatly, to rejoice, to cause to shout for joy, to cause to sing, misspelling there, I got a sign, aloud for joy, out of triumph. You're not shouting for fear, you're not shouting because you're afraid and screaming and hollering, you're shouting for joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Hallelujah. So this joyful shout is directly connected to the prosperity and blessings from God, identified in Psalms 35:27. So that's why the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, don't let the devil take your shout for joy or your shout of praise. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart, all you upright in heart. The joy is released in response to God's deliverance, protection, and mercy. Now, some people think mercy is something God just gives you, but no, it's really, on the other side, it's something you don't deserve, but God gives you to you because you're a child, because you are redeemed. You have a covenant of mercy. You might have got in a slime pit or a black hole somewhere. You got in trouble, but you can shout, and God said, I'll deliver you. I'll protect you. I'll be merciful unto you. How many times he saved many of us from death-defying car accidents? Come on now. We were in a club, and where weren't supposed to be, except bullets going across the room, and one of them didn't hit you. It went by you, but it didn't hit you. Come on now. We ought to be the most shoutingest, praisingest bunch, hallelujah, in this city. Praise God, because God has delivered us. God is protecting us, and God is merciful. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Come on now. It's been the mercy of God that we getting up and breathing and walking and running. Come on now, and going to work. Come on now, and earning an income. Come on, praise God. We can shout about the mercy of God.
Hallelujah.
See, it's a joyful response to God's saving power. So let's go to Psalms 149:6-7. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? 149. We We're going to read verse 6 and 7. It says, let the high praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. So that's indicative of this wartime, this warfare situation we're in. And to execute vengeance upon the heathen and to punishments upon the people. See, this shout of praise releases the believer's authority over the enemy. This is what helps us fight the good fight of faith. Now let's look at the New Testament example Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, shout for joy. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I like to read it out amplified. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength. So take note, take inventory, and take measurement. When's the last time I've drawn my strength from my union with Christ? He said, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. You draw your strength from God. You don't look like you've been tired and run over and wrung out like a wet dish rag. You can generate supernatural strength right out of heaven from God through the joy of the Lord. Through your union with Christ, you can draw strength. Spiritual strength and not what dependent upon how many hours of sleep you got last night. Because see, sometimes we get too flesh confident, and that cripples our faith. I didn't get my 8 hours, so I'm dragging today. I got to get all this coffee. I got to drink sodas. I got to get all this caffeine to pump me up. Well, you pump up your flesh, you need to be pumping up your spirit. With the joy of the Lord, of course. Hallelujah. Somebody said, glory to God. Now, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, the devil doesn't want you to do that because you'll be able to stand against the wiles. This is the cunning arts, the deceit, the craft, the trickery, the deceitfulness of the devil. This comes on a consistent, regular basis to the believer. Why is that, Pastor? Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not. Now, circle or highlight the word against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is the Holy Spirit emphasizing? Your battle is not a flesh, sight, seen battle. Your battle, the conquest, the contest you're in, the conflict you're in is 99.9% spiritual. Though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we war not after the flesh. You thought that person was the problem, but it is the person of the enemy of your soul. There's a wrestling against. This word wrestle just means to vibrate, the root word, to throw, to scatter, to cast into, or to thrust. It comes from the words that means he's trying to thrust, get something in you. The word diabolo in itself, the devil, means to make a hole. That dia and balos, where we get epibalos, and they come together. Diabolo means to make a hole or one road. He's trying to make a road where? In your mind. Where his thoughts, ideas, suggestions begin to dominate your thinking. And as the mind goes, the man follows. And so he does it through trickery, deceits, and mind games. Deceptive mind games. So if he can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you in life. And what does sorrow do? Sorrow intoxicates your mind, but in a negative way. That's why people drink and stay at clubs and get drunk in bars and they get high. Why? Because they kind of get out of their mind. They can't stand experiencing the things they experience. But God wants you to get the mind of Christ. Get in the mind of God. Come on now. Get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Get filled up with God to where he's controlling your mind and not the devil. Somebody say, glory to God. That comes by being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Glory to God. Now, Psalms 47:1 tells us, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God. Everybody say shout. Shout. With the voice of triumph. Now, some people do too much with their hands, but not enough with their mouth. Let me stop here and meddle a little bit. Now, when is it appropriate to clap with your hands? With the music or with the song? But you don't get up in God's face and start patty-cating. That's usually applauding God. When you're in his presence, he didn't want to hear your hands. He want to hear your voice. The saints praise. The world applauds. There's nothing wrong with your hands, but God wants to lift up your voice. Remember we said, your voice is your address in the spirit. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your voice. Come on, lift up your voice. Shout to God. Sing unto the Lord for joy. Sing. That means you got to open your mouth. Amen. You don't just listen to music. You become the music. See, when the devil steals your shout, then you have nothing to say. Nothing coming out of your mouth. We often said about in the faith context, when your faith is strong enough to move your mouth, it will be strong enough to move your mountain. But if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. This is a war, but it's a war of words. What's the most powerful thing in the universe? Words. When David saw Goliath coming at him, then for 40 days, that big old ugly 9'6" champion of the Philistine called Goliath got out every day and cursed at him, talked trash to him. And they over there in the ditch, intimidated. Well, that's what the devil wants to do. Out-talk you. Run his mouth. And you sitting there, nothing. But and this David, an 18-year-old boy, said, y'all hear this? Y'all hearing this? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's going to defy the armies of the living God? Come on now. Come on. And he got off and he said, I'm going to get in this fight here. But I'm going to win the fight because I got a covenant with God. That's what you can win the fight because you got a covenant with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, he cussed at David. He said, I'm going to cut your head off and give you the burden. He said, I'm going to have the last word. I'm going to cut your head off and give you to the dogs. And the Bible says he got so full of joy and excitement and strength, supernatural strength, he ran at David. He ran at Goliath. In other words, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is a victory clap. It's not a patty cake clap. Run reference on it. It's a victory clap. And he said, shout. Because some people clap, but they have nothing coming out of their mouth. And there's no generation of joy. You can't generate joy without your mouth closed. Somebody say, glory to God. He says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, a voice of victory. This is a shout that connects the believer to the triumph of Christ. You want to be connected to his triumph, then you need to operate in the spiritual principles. Hallelujah. That your shout needs to connect you to his triumph. Somebody say, glory to God. Listen to this. In 2 Chronicles 3, 13, 14, the Bible tells us on the back page, there, that when Judah looked around, at to their surprise, the battle line that was front and near, and they cried out to the Lord. And the priest shouted with sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Adonijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. Now remember, this is in the midst of looking like they were surrounded 360 degrees by an enemy, they shouted for joy when the priest sounded the trumpet. What did the praisers do in this instrument? First, the priest sounded the trumpet. Then the men of Judah shouted with the ear-splitting sound, and they gained the victory. How much have we lost because we lost our shout? See, we as believers are priests who should lift up our voices in authority and signal the church to give a shout. Our trumpet is a shout. Send up your praise, shout first, and God's power will be released. If you only knew what was on the other side of your shout, you'd shout when you're facing problems, when you're facing pressure, when you're facing persecution. Now, this has to be a learned practice, and the Holy Spirit is very skilled to help you shout. Amen. Numbers 23:21 tells us, let me give you the other one. Remember, your part is to look to God, believe and cooperate with his purpose by releasing your authority and to give a shout that moves heaven and strikes terror in the enemy. We see the pattern in the Old Testament. We see the pattern in the New Testament. They shouted suddenly. Just two people. Remember Paul and Silas at midnight. They prayed, then they sang praises. And the prisoners heard them. Didn't say they overheard them. They heard them. They were shouting praises. And God brought suddenly the earthquake came. And then immediately their bands were loose. Not even look impossible, because their feet were in stocks. They were hurting, bleeding, and persecuted, beat down. And they had they down in the hole, what we call it, the hole, the dungeon, the dark part, the deepest part of the prison. And the way the maritime prisons ran in those days, the sewage came through there. The rats came in there. And the big, ugly stuff came through there. It was stinking. It was horrible. It was an easy situation to complain and say, I think I got caca on me. I think I got stuff on me, rotten food on me. Rats are eating out my skin because my back is bleeding. They been salted me with, make me in pain. I my feet are hurting because they got these ankle stocks on my feet. But the Bible says, in the middle of it. Everybody say, in the middle of it. In the middle of it, they prayed and then sang praises. To who? To God. Woo! At midnight. Come on now, that represents the deepest, darkest time. What are we doing at midnight? Hallelujah. In the midnight of our pain, in the midnight of our problem, in the midnight of our pressure, high persecution situation, when your flesh wants to go off, when you want to run off the reservation, you want to run off the way of God and go off. Come on now. What do we do? What do we do? What are we supposed to do? Everybody say, shout for joy. Shout for joy. Sing praises. Now listen, the Numbers 23:21. He has not observed the iniquity of Jacob, nor has he seen the wickedness. Now this is when the evil king Balak was trying to get Balaam, the greedy prophet, to curse the people of Israel. You know those people around trying to curse you. Curse is basically not cuss you out. Now, I know that's Texas colloquial expression, cuss you out, we cuss you out. No, that using profanity, that's what it means. But this is not what this means. Cursing means to say something bad about you, to not speak well of you. Why? Because words are the most powerful thing in the universe. So he was trying to pronounce a curse on Israel, but he said, he has observed the iniquity of Jacob. He has not seen wickedness in their Israel, nor the Lord his God is with him. And the what? The shout of a king is among them. A shout of a king. Remember that song? I give you praise. Because you deserve, I give you praise in the dark of night. I give you praise when the battle rages. I give you praise till it works out right. Don't let the devil take your shout of praise. Amen?
Amen.
As the church lifts its voice and shouts, Jesus our King inhabits our praise. His authority is released through our shouts of joy. Now let's look at Wigglesworth's statement, and then we're going to close for this week and pick it up next time. I come across some people who will be giants in the power of God, but they have no shout of faith. I find people everywhere who fail, even when they are praying, simply because they just breathing sentences without uttering speech. You cannot get the victory that way. You must learn to take the victory and shout in the face of the devil. It's not, it is done. There is no man that doubts if he learns to shout. Things will be different and tremendous things will happen. Now, do y'all believe that? So when you shout, you're trusting God that God's favor and blessings is surrounding you like a shield. So when do we shout? We shout to testify of our faith in God's promises and thankfulness for his glorious mercy. We shout to encourage yourselves and your brethren to strike terror into your enemies. Hallelujah. So let's stand. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.